Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right, Coastsiders, guess what? It's 2026. It's January 2nd, and I have here, had the interns paste in huge letters here. 2026 says, I'm going to be writing on my checks. I guess I make this joke every year. I'll be writing on my checks 2025 until at least February. What are checks, you say? Yes, well, look it up, millennials. Look it up. Okay, morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
A happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, and in the studio with us today, we have Coastal Windage.
Super fan.
Super dad and super fan, Brad Larson. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Ruben. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Now,
same
Brad.
Too. Thanks for having me here today.
Of course. And, Brad, you know your way around the studio quite well. This is your at least third time on this show. Let's see. The interns did the research for me. Hold on. We got the dates here. Interns, come on.
Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle.
I like note cards, okay? When you put it in a document, that makes me have to look it up, and I still can't find it. So if would somebody find this dates for me, we'll get these dates sometime during the show. But Brad's been on the show at least twice, co-hosting with Crystalyn both times, including, I know one time was for the Coastal Windage second annual Summer Mic series this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's a great company to keep there. Brad, you know what you're doing. You know what you're in for. So I make no apologies. You volunteered for this. Here we go. Okay.
All right. Hit it.
Yes. Today's topics. Ay, ay, ay. Who owns the medians at El Granada? It seems like a relatively simple question that's been answered through law for at least 100 years in California, but San Mateo County claims, we don't know. So we'll explore that. Coastal Windage Year in Review. We didn't get to it last year, so we'll get to it this year. And at the back half of the show, our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Brad, Coastal Windage super dad and super fan. We'll get into what that means. Air quality report. This is a good day for that, as it mostly is here. Remember, 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is pretty good. And we are rocking it today. 7 in El Granada, 3 in Half Moon Bay, 9 in Redwood City, 5 in Santa Cruz, and the Easter egg location today. It's a long shot. I don't know if anybody will get it, what the connection is. But today in Detroit, Michigan, 20 today in Detroit. Okay, we'll see if anybody calls in for some windage bucks or anybody on the show can figure it out either. I was barely able to figure it out myself. All right. So it's New Year's, and that means time for what? Hangover medicine, yes. New Year's resolution. Oh, no. You had something else?
No.
No. New Year's resolutions, or the resies, as we call them here on the show. It's time for the resies. Okay. But, Crystalyn, no resies?
No.
And because?
I'm not going to start my year off with some grandiose plan that is so hard to come to fruition. Just because the date changes does not mean that my mindset changes. So,
but isn't that part of the resolution, that change your mindset?
No. Well, I constantly am coming up with new goals for myself throughout the year. So I'm just going to keep working on the goals that I set months ago that I am very much working towards, and the new year just meant that I had a week off and I'm not changing my plan.
Harumph, a bit of a resolution Scrooge. Brad, what about you? Got some resolutions for the year? Do you do resolutions every year?
I do one. Same one every year. Try to relax more.
Okay, how do you... Okay, so we'll get into your hang-up with resolutions.
Yeah.
Through Brad's resolution, which is to relax more. But how do you quantify that? How do you know if you've been successful at that?
Well, I'll stop dreaming about work.
Okay.
I retired 3 years ago, and I'm still dreaming about work.
Okay.
And I had a pretty stressful job in managing six and seven construction crews, and all the scheduling, all the permitting, and all of that, and it got very, very stressful, and I was working 10, 12-hour days, and I was just on all the time, just moving as quickly as I possibly could. I started 5:30 in the morning, end up 6 o'clock at night, getting home, and I'm still buzzing from that whole experience. And I did that for 40 years.
So what measures do you take to try to relax more? I mean, 3 years, whatever you're doing, like, you need to turn it up to 11 because you're still stressing about work. And it's, Brad, it's been 3 years.
I'm staying in bed longer, that's
okay.
For darn sure.
What, 5:45?
I'm up at the crack of 7 o'clock now. Yeah,
It's still
better.
Painful to hear, but yes, I have family members in the military. My gramps is in the Navy, and yes, still like 5:30 every morning, no matter what, just because he's used to getting up at that time. Yeah. Gramps, just go quietly. I'm not getting up at 5:30. Okay, so
early is easy for me. I was up at, well, I did one of my airport runs. I'm the family airport runner.
Yes.
So I took granddaughter to SFO this morning and deposited her there at 4 o'clock. I was here by 4:35.
Ooh, yikes. Okay, that hurts. That really, like, just added, like, 15 years to my shoulders right there. Just hearing the time, 4 a.m., getting up. Going to bed at 4 a.m., that seems logical. All right, so one resolution for Brad to relax more. We can't argue with that. However, Crystal, to your point, yes, resolutions are only as good as you make them and as they are constructed. And therein lies the whole key to the resolution. Yes, you want them to be aspirational and useful and beneficial, but also doable and specific with actual finite deliverables. Otherwise, it's hard to quantify and you lose enthusiasm. For example, and people are going to be like, well, Ruben, when you go through your list, you have ones exactly like you're talking about that are open-ended and whatever. Okay, yes, but, I mean, here's the ones that don't succeed. I'm going to learn a new language with no plan. You know, just like, I'm going to learn a new language on, you know, Duology, whatever these, you know, online things are that give you points for, you know, just saying the word back to them. But at the end of 2 years, you still can't speak the language. So no learning a new language or drinking less or working out more, seeing friends more. These are too vague and stereotypical. Like, they don't. So that's why I was asking about relaxing. What's your metric on that? Oh, you're sleeping longer. Okay, so there are some quantifiable metrics that you could see. You're sleeping longer. I wonder, like, if you had a Apple Watch or something that measured your sleep, REM or whatever it measures, if it would show that you're sleeping better, too. Like, if you're not worrying about the projects, that you don't have to worry. They're not your projects anymore, Brad.
No.
Let them go.
Let it go, Brad. Let it go.
Okay, here's mine.
That's just not the Larson way.
No.
Well, no.
Yeah. We are studious.
Yeah, I'm the son of a mechanical engineer, so we look at the world a little bit differently, don't we?
And I'm the daughter of Brad, so.
So yeah. You give me a task and a day and a time that's going to be done, I'll start scheduling backwards.
Yes.
4 or 5 days from there.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that I'm there on time.
I mean, there's...
Sometimes you get to Half Moon Bay at 4:30 in the morning. So.
I mean, I'm a great...
My best day is when I beat Dad to a family function or a event.
And it's kind of turned into a contest.
Yes.
Now. It's definitely a thing now.
Okay. Where's Livy for the level 7 eye roll? Whoa. Okay. What have we stumbled in here to? Oh, by the way, on the mic today, we've got our second engineer, Noah, running the mic fully by himself today. Frank is over there reading the paper. Or what is he? He's reading his Facebook account, just kicking back. And Noah's handling this. Noah, tip of the cap to you, my friend. Good job. Okay. Well, here's mine. And it starts off with you be like, well, that is exactly the kind of thing you're talking about. Well, yes and no. More actual sleep. Hold up. I used to only be in bed for like 3 to 5 hours a night. Like go to bed at like 3:30, 4, get up at like 7:30. So only even in the bed. Now, the good thing about that was the second my head hit the pillow was out. But clearly that's not enough sleep. And, you know, I was like one of these tough guys was like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, yeah, and you're going to be dead a lot sooner if you don't sleep. So a couple years ago, I came to my senses and realized I need to get more. So I could just feel it. I could just feel it after a few years of doing this. I could feel it just draining the life out of my body. So, okay, so now I'm spending more time in bed, maybe 5 to 8 hours a night, but my sleep is terrible. So I'm in the bed. So I'm trying to get better sleep. How are you going to quantify that? Well, this is my sole metric. I'm now taking melatonin each night at bedtime, 3 milligrams, just to try to help. And it does seem like I'm waking up less in the night.
Okay.
It used to be like I was just like the entire night was just waking up like 20 times and changing positions. Now it feels like it's only 2 or 3 times. So there's my metric. Okay, so more actual sleep. Number 2, I'm going to actually buy a subscription to CoastSideNews.com.
Yeah,
during COVID, they made the paywall sidesteppable through a private window anonymous browser. You can kind of just open an anonymous browser and be able to avoid the paywall. They've ended that, although I've also found another hack to that. So technically, I could continue to not pay for it. I'm a little grumbly about the paying for it because I used to be able to get a physical paper somewhere, like at a coffee shop or something, laying around. That was part of the... Young Chris Lynn's giving me the eye. Like, come on, paper's got to make money too. But that's one of the things about a paper at the airport or something. There's the paper. Somebody's got a paper. Could I have the sports section? It's kind of a communal thing, which you can't do with the internet. So there's some community taken out of it. Also,
well, I'm contemplating whether I should say this out loud because I don't want to hurt their subscription sales. But there is a free 30-day subscription that you can just continually renew. So if you pay for a subscription, which I'm sure they, you know, super, super appreciate, you know, you're supporting them and you're supporting the staff and all of that. But you do not have to pay to get their news.
I don't do the like here 30 days and then, you know, regain your money back if you're not satisfied or whatever. I don't believe any of that. The amount of effort it's going to take to untangle myself from the 30-day no strings attached commitment or whatever, I don't have any faith that it's a good faith offer, that there's going to be all kinds of entangling threads that I'll be dealing with for years afterwards.
No, I love that you're putting your own spin on this. That's not how it works. It's literally just putting in your email, putting in a password, telling your browser to save it. And then when your 30 days is up, when you go to read an article, it tells you that you need a subscription and you just re-log in with your 30 days and it restarts it.
Oh, so naive, Crystalyn. They got you. They got you. Yeah. They're not ever letting go. You think you've severed the ties, but you haven't. But anyways, it used to be in the old days, if I wanted a paper, maybe I'd pony up $1.50 for the paper.
You know, it occurs to me, Crystalyn probably should have had a paper route.
Oh, dear.
That was my first job.
Well, I kind of did because I went on mom with her paper route.
Oh, were you flipping papers with her?
Yeah, when you have a mom
who's... Was that from the car?
When you have a mom who is 18...
You got a Schwinn.
She also has a paper route.
I had a Schwinn.
I had all the slugs. Do you remember the slugs? When you were the person who refilled the machines... the one, you know. And so then they would give you these things called slugs, which were fake quarters. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, in the 80s, those fake quarters also worked in soda machines. And I would go and help Mom with that. So I technically did.
Okay, so you have admitted on this show so far to...
In 1983.
To stealing content from Coastside News. And now stealing soda from poor... small business owners who are trying to just run a vending machine.
In 1983,
wow. Okay,
yes.
Okay, and now you're CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. See?
Would they work in a slot machine?
That I don't know.
Well, but now they want $99 for the year. And, like, I don't have a choice when I want to buy. It's $99 for the year, which I haven't done the math, but seems about... It's $1.50 a week, so it's about $99. But again, like some weeks I don't need a paper. I'm not here, like, but I'm paying for it anyway. So I'm out of the generosity of my own wallet supporting Coastside News, even when I don't want or need the content.
It's a Christmas miracle. Your heart grew 3 sizes.
Well, I haven't bought it yet though. The subscription model is just the holy grail for business right now. They want that guaranteed returning revenue, and I frankly can't stand it. So that's another reason I'm rebelling against that. Okay, here's another vague one that people be like, that's not get good at a new sport or get good at something. I mean, this was a desperation resolution I put on there a few years ago. Of like, I see all these other people, they're really good at various things. They've got a hobby. They're really good. I'm just looking around and like, I do nothing. I'm good at nothing. So I used to be really good at cycling, but since the accident, I just don't really feel the same about it. I've been dabbling with pickleball, which would be a good sport for me, but courts are limited here. Although boys and girls come to the Coastside and the Cabrillo Unified School District, along with members of the local pickleball community, including Dave Houston, who we've had on the show, are really doing a lot to open things up. The Cunha tennis courts are now available for pickleball play, and there's a project in the works to turn one of those courts to restripe it as 4 pickleball courts. Still a tennis court as well, but striped specifically for 4 pickleball courts, and I think that'll really increase interest. It's a fun sport, so I'd like to get into that. I don't know what else I could do that I could be good at, so I'm just going to – we'll just leave it at that and move on. Repair the fence in my yard. It's 20 years old. It's made out of wood. My dog's a fence chewer. I made a few patches. But I want to do it Truthmaker style, which is I get old pallets. I deconstruct them. And then I use the pieces of wood to repair the fence in a nice, orderly way. The way my fence is, it looks pretty good. I've done a few sections. And so I want to do it the Truthmaker style. But Mrs. Truthmaker wants it done right. So I don't know if I'll be able to finish that project, but I would like to have the time to redo the fences in my yard, Truthmaker style. We'll see. And last, this one's for Frank. Embrace AI and learn to love it as my new master and benefactor.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's already happening. I don't have to do anything.
The genie is not going back in the bottle, is it?
No, it's already there. So no. I just have to sit back and let it take over as everybody else in the world is doing.
Just beware. AI now knows revenge. It knows blackmail. And it knows self-preservation.
But... Brad, I've seen this coming since 1991 when Terminator 2 came out. So
I've seen this coming since 2001, A Space Odyssey.
There we go, 1968. Exactly. Yeah. So
open the pod bay door, Hal.
So I have been purposely messing with my algorithm. You know, your little feed, like when you go and look at something, now you get more of that something. I purposely go and enter a bunch of crap into my browser window, random stuff. Go to articles that I'm not interested in. You know what? Big middle finger right here to you, algorithm. Try and follow me. Good luck. Try to make a profile of Ruben Truthmaker. Not going to happen. Okay, Coastside. Here's some resolutions for the Coastside. Coastside. And people new to the Coastside. Okay, like, oh, the NIMBY thing, not in my backyard. Come here and lock the door. A little bit, because... If you're going to move here, if you're going to move here. Embrace the semi-rural nature of coastside living and stop trying to make this El Camino West. I'm sorry, because everybody's going, but I would love that. And I know, Frank, with stores like Trader Joe's or other big box stores, more hotels. I know Crystalline CEO's Chamber of Commerce is grimacing. Like, more hotels and sidewalks and curb cuts in areas of El Granada and Montero where there aren't even connecting walkways. We don't even have sidewalks to connect, but they got to make a curb cut. They got to make a curb cut for a dirt area. It just looks silly. And, like, what's the point? So you're going to get up off the curb into dirt if you're with a cane or a wheelchair or something. Like, it's just, it's these non-thinking mandatory things. So this isn't the peninsula on the other side of the hill. This is semi-rural coastside. There's things that we love about here. Don't try to turn it into El Camino West. Okay. Coastside. Complete an uninterrupted, separated from the highway, east side multimodal paved trail from Moon Ridge to Montero and even through to Pacifica. Be aspirational. Take it all the way to Pacifica. Otherwise, I don't want to hear about any more about transportation plans or anything like that, about how we're going to get more people on bikes and blah-de-de-blah. We can't even get the 300 yards between Miramar Drive and Rocket Farms completed. It's been years since that bike path has just ended into the weeds. Years. Okay, next. Get not only a business hours urgent care, which we no longer have. We had for a brief time during a pilot, but we don't even have that anymore. So not only that, but a fully staffed ER for the coast side. Again, I don't want to hear anything about transportation plan or anything when we don't, when every single person that needs a blood draw or to have their flu shot or not flu shot, but if they're having the flu and they need to have a doc, have to go over the hill, to get in a car and drive over the hill. So if we're talking transportation plan, have some medical services on this side, including like a blood draw clinic or an x-ray clinic or something like that, so people don't have to drive over the hill for these basic health services, not to mention the big stuff. So a fully staffed ER. I mean, that urgent care, okay, as a pilot step, but we should settle for nothing less than a fully staffed ER. Number four, natatorium with a huge lane pool, a saltwater pool, a competition pool, and several jacuzzis. Yes, I'm shooting for the moon. But if we ask for that, maybe we'll get a pool that you could actually play competitive water polo in. All right, and finally, clean ocean waters, abundant natural wildlife, enrapturing coastal sunsets, incredible air quality, generous open spaces, and the genuine joy that come from it. I wish this for the entire coastside community. Take a look around. Take a breath, enjoy the beautiful place that we live. If you're having a rough day, step out, check out one of these electric sunsets that we've been having. What was that one on Wednesday, I think it was? Was just radiant. Okay. So there's our resolutions for the coastside and for myself. Coastsiders, if you have a resolution that you would like to share that you think would be helpful, interesting, funny, or whatever, give us a call. Guess what? We are a call show. Sometimes I forget to mention the number. 650-560-9851. You could call in at any time between now and 10 a.m. with whatever thought is on your mind.
Between now and 9:57 a.m.
Yes.
So we have time to take the call.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point because around then, Frank gives me the helicopter thing and he gets very violent about it. Although Noah's running the show and he's super chill. So, okay. Let's remind people about the Half Moon Bay Cheer Squad Spaghetti Dinner. That's January 8th. They're trying to raise 10 grand because for the first time, the high school is having a competitive cheer squad. It's a team, right? Just like the football team goes and has a competition, cheer squads do as well. And currently, much like the Cunha cheer team, the Half Moon Bay Cheer Squad is unfunded. They don't even get support from the athletic booster. So they need to raise their own money. They're having a delicious spaghetti dinner for the family. You can get that as a gift for yourself, for your family, or for someone else. It's a meal for a family of four. They've got meat spaghetti and vegetarian spaghetti. Meals come with spaghetti, salad, garlic bread, and dessert. $60 for the veggie. Meat is $65. It's Thursday. It's a pickup. It's going to be at the IDES Hall between 5 and 7. You'll go through a drive-through pickup, get your stuff, go home, and have a delicious dinner and feel good about supporting the Cheer Squad. Five minutes? All right. So, Brad, part of your interview today, you're going to have to roll with us here on who owns the medians. I know you've got a thought on this, so we got to get to this because this just...
What do you mean by the medians?
Yes, exactly. We'll get to that. And if this is, see, this is why we'll bring you in on the conversation there. But before we get to that, last show we talked about trolls going up around the coastside with Martin Gallagher, but now it's tolls that are going up. Tolls at bridges across the Bay Area and fares at BART will start increasing starting yesterday. Seven bridges in the region will see a 50 cent increase up to $8.50 a crossing on its way to $10.50. That's where it's going to by 2030. 6.2% increase for all BART trips. It's the usual suspects and bridges. We won't go through those. Trying to raise money for costs. They need to raise an additional $15.6 million for the 2026. But I read somewhere that they have some like upcoming looming massive $375 million debt. So I don't know what a few rate increases is going to do towards that. We'll see. I just don't understand why public transportation is such a problem to finance and pay for in this country when all the other modernized countries in the world seem to have it figured out. Question for Coastsiders. Would you pay a toll for the tunnel if money from that toll was used to develop coastside-specific infrastructure?
Depends on who's in charge of the infrastructure decisions.
Okay. All right. I'll play that. So who would you trust to... Who could it be? Caltrans?
No.
County of San Mateo Public Works?
Depends.
Who else is there?
Well, it depends on what the projects are.
City of Half Moon Bay.
If they're specifically road projects, there's a lot of jurisdictions that own different parts of the roads and up to a certain point and this and that, and most of them are Caltrans. So in that regard, no. I would go out of my way to avoid the tunnel.
Would you do that?
Go 92 to 280 and go around that way.
Just to avoid paying $8.50?
I am stubborn.
Even if it was going to a fund that nominally was for coastside projects somehow, some way, we'll see.
If I was given parameters that the guardrails for it staying on the coastside were really like solid and legit, then sure. But the number of times that I've seen Caltrans give presentations to tell coastsiders what we need when it's something that we don't need and we don't want, and it's ill-conceived because they've got $2 million in a grant that they're trying to spend, Caltrans has continually shown that they make their decisions from their seats in their office in Oakland without coming here and actually understanding what this is about. One of the most irritating things that I heard about Caltrans at a meeting a couple years ago was that Marin County has a specific person in that Oakland office whose job it is to know Marin inside and out, so that when somebody says, hey, so-and-so creek flooded, this gal knew that creek, what was around it, this and that. To my knowledge, at least in the last 10 years, the coastside has never, ever been given a coastside representative. So until Caltrans gives a flying whoop about the coastside, I don't give a flying whoop about Caltrans.
Wow. Okay. Well, standing ovation from the peanut gallery. All right.
Calm down.
Yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that. with that statement, because Caltrans is a black box. And they are tone deaf when it comes to the coastside. A couple of years ago, again, they had some money, and instead of like, well, what really needs to be done, they were going to put all these electronic signs up and down the coastside that coastsiders don't want, didn't ask for, could use the money for much other more important and necessary and needed things. But no,
Meanwhile, the actual regular signs that tell you speed limits and all of that were so dirty you couldn't see through them, but they couldn't take a power washer to them.
But they got grant money for Cult of Technology. We got to get electronic, Wi-Fi connected, Internet of Things signage for the coast side. All right, is it time? I guess that's
this
it.
This is Community we'll Radio right for the Coast Side.
100.9 Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Okay, well, in the interim.
There we go.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Moore and Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
I don't really know how this show works. I don't really listen to it. So I knew there was something else there. I wasn't quite sure what it was. But I knew there was something else there. Okay. Wrapping up, we mentioned trolls and tolls. Going back to trolls, we had Martin Gallagher on a couple weeks ago. He's the creator of the troll structure, Henry the Troll in Quarry Park. Amazing thing. It was very fun. He has reached out to let us know. So breaking news. Breaking news, he has plans for a new 23-foot surf troll, so a troll with a surfboard.
Which he mentioned that on the show.
He did?
Yeah.
Was I here?
Yes, you suggested giving it a surfboard.
What?
And we talked about Mosaic.
I get credit for the surfboard?
Well, I feel like
wow.
It. I don't know. We definitely talked about it.
See, this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't...
It was, 3 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Okay, so, he better have some strong, cables and guidelines on that thing. Otherwise, that troll is going to be literally surfing on the way to Hawaii after the first king tides roll in, or the first big... tonight, I guess they're supposed to... Well, it's not out there yet, so we don't have to worry about it. But anyways, Martin, make sure that thing's tied down. He also has... idea to put some trolls on the Cunha campus for the Boys and Girls Club of the Coast Side. I think the kids would really think that's cool. Maybe they could help him build it. That would be pretty amazing. Okay. Who owns the medians? Brad, you were asking, what does that even mean? But median, well, maybe that's not what he asked. Who am I?
Commercial break really.
I know. Well, this is my
off.
Avatar, right? I'm not actually here right now. This is just a holographic image of me.
Are you talking about the center lines?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
What are they going to do? Trying to create some left turn lanes or?
Okay. No, it's about the trees.
Okay, so in El Granada, there's medians, right? So
they're really big. I mean, they are massive. They're not like the ones you see on the highway where it's just separating lanes,
Yeah,
they are as wide as two lanes in some 30, areas.
Sure. 30 feet.
Green belts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a couple of streets here in El Granada because of the way that Daniel Burnham designed it as an amphitheater, that there's an Alameda that is a double. There's two single, one-way streets separated by a giant median that's maybe 30 feet, 40 feet wide with huge eucalyptus in there. Okay. A few years ago, Granada Community Service Districts, which has Parks and Rec Authority, had an idea to beautify these medians, which are now just, open space, I guess, but they're not cared for. There's no gardens there. There's no paths or trails or benches or anything like that. It's just,
leaves.
Fallen branches and weeds. Okay. Which, it doesn't look bad. Again, we're semi-rural, so that's fine. But they had an idea to put some structures in there, some play structures, some benches, some passive recreation stuff. But hold on. No, the county came back with some marble mouth mumbo jumbo about, well, they're not quite sure who owns the medians and we don't own them. But I think the property owners might own them, which is just complete they're not lying. I don't know what the word is I'm trying to say, but that it is disingenuous. It's a disingenuous position.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to try to make homeowners responsible for things outside of their home. And Half Moon Bay kind of has something similar where somewhere in their code, from my understanding, homeowners are responsible for the sidewalk in front of their house. But the sidewalk is not a part of their, to my knowledge, the sidewalk's not a part of their property line. So,
well, okay, here's where they get away with it. Technically, your property line goes to the middle of the street. Whatever municipality you live in has a maintenance easement. You're not allowed to like do anything with the street or even the gutter or a lot of times the sidewalk, those being public spaces that the municipality running your city or town or whatever has a maintenance easement for. So they're allowed to go and do stuff on it, but you technically own it to the midline of the street.
If I own it, I want to do what I want with it.
Well, that's not the understanding. This is well-established law that you, and if you look on your, if you have a deed, if you go and look at it, your property line goes to the center line. But what the county is saying is on these Alameda streets, which have a huge center median, they're saying the property owner, the adjacent property owner, that their property goes to the midline of the median. And this is just a ridiculous argument because for 70, 80 years, it's been well established that these are public spaces, these medians, and that those are not included in your property. Your property line goes to the middle of the street. So if we look at the Alameda, the property line would go to the middle of the one-way section of the street, not to the middle of the land and the median in between. These El Granada subdivisions were established and recorded in 1908, and roads and other public space were ceded to the county and duly recorded at that time. Quoting from... Yes, we're going to get into the original documents. If you want to hear discussion of this and see the supporting documents, go to Coastside Buzz. This was discussed in detail at the 12-18-25 Granada Community Services District meeting. You can see that video. You can see these original documents that we'll be mentioning on CoastsideBuzz.com. So from the recorded plat of subdivision number 3, Granada, San Mateo County, accepted August 3rd, 1908. The County of San Mateo, acting through its Board of Supervisors, duly assembled, has accepted and does hereby accept for and on behalf of the said County of San Mateo and the public all of the highways, streets, avenues, alleys, and public places set forth, shown, and described within on that plat document. In 2016, GCSD Legal Counsel provided a legal position letter that established that the county does own these medians, that they accepted these medians in 1908. That document, a really good document on Coastside Buzz, cites legal precedent, legal cases where these open spaces, these medians are recognized as public space. There's really no question about this. But the county, who has never provided a legal position in any letter about this, and only some vague mumblings, and I'm sorry to characterize this. This is from Nicholas Calderon, who at the time was the interim real property manager for San Mateo County. This is on July 6, 2006. His response or his statement on this subject was, the district, this being GCSD, has not reached out to the specific adjacent property owners who own to the center line of the right-of-ways in question as to whether they support improvements. This is when GCSD wanted to put some improvements there. This is of particular concern, as it is not clear that the county has property rights that would allow all of the planned improvements, and getting support from adjacent homeowners would minimize risk. So the county wants GCSD to go to all the homeowners, adjacent homeowners, ask them if they're okay with the county taking over, and then allow the county to claim this land by eminent domain. Then the county would then give it back to GCSD so they can make the improvements. Seems very convoluted and really is, in my opinion, a stall tactic by the county. They don't want to deal. They've been doing the maintenance and taking care of these medians for decades and decades and decades. But now when somebody wants to do something, suddenly, well, I don't know. Who knows who owns it? I don't know. Do you own it? Who knows?
Like, and did you say that was from 2006?
16.
Oh, 16. Okay. 16. Well, still, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah. So this is just. Meanwhile, nothing's happening in the medians, and trees are falling. So in this last couple of weeks, many trees have fallen on houses in El Granada, on cars in El Granada. And who's responsible? Who needs to take care of those trees? Who's going to pay for those damages? I know that the county is not going to do anything about this. So these things seem pretty clear to me. The county is and has been responsible for the median since 1908. The county does not want to formally acknowledge or budget for the medians. The county wants GCSD to do all the work and take all the risk on this. And at the end of the day, somebody is going to have to sue the county over this before the county does anything. Kind of like always on the coast side. So that's stuck in my craw right now. And that's the explanation, Brad, of like what's going on with these medians. Anywhere else, especially in California, this is a done deal. Already know. It'd be kind of like the county is acting as an HOA here. They're taking care of these public spaces. And that's how it is in most municipalities, especially with a median like this. I mean,
is there any medians like that in Walnut Creek at this point?
I think there's a couple of them. But I know for sure I don't own to the middle of my street, because my street is drawn on the parcel map. And my property line, I know exactly where it is. It's right at the gutter.
That's what they say, that your property line and technically where you own to. This is part of this discussion here.
Okay, I'll do the math. I'll look up my parcel again. I'll figure out the exact square feet, and I'll let you know.
Well, and you can't do anything with that street. You can't, you know,
no, but
put a speed bump or fix even the cement gutter as part of your street. But technically, it goes to the center line.
I was going to say, didn't that become acutely aware when you guys had flooding after they did a paving project, and then you had to figure out what was yours and what was not yours on what you had to fix?
Oh, the flood in front of my house?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I sort of took care of that myself. East Bay Mud had to put all new piping down the center of our streets. And then they had to repave over. And they didn't have a proper swale at my intersection. I live in a corner. They didn't have a proper swale so the water could cross the street. Yeah. And they've crowned it three times, making a lake in front of my property. And this time when they were out there, when they were repaving, I pointed out this problem to the guy. I marked it. I took a laser out there and I showed him, you know, the water that was starting to lap at my driveway headed for my garage. And the next day, their entire paving crew showed up and they regraded the entire intersection so as to create the proper swale and duck the water away from my house. And that was just me standing out there going, look, you guys, you're going to create a flood worse than what I had before.
And I have an example here in town. There was a business when they were doing the Poplar Street improvements. They were putting in the sidewalks or fixing the sidewalks, and it was creating a spot where it was going to be higher where the sidewalk is before a cluster of businesses have a little parking lot. And same, the business owner who owns the building had to go out there and be like, hey guys, I think you're creating like a 2-inch, 3-inch difference between my parking lot and your sidewalks. And there's, so when it rains really hard, this is going to become a lake. And they went, oh, yeah. That's right. So then they had to go back and kind of figure out how to add some drainage so that their project didn't flood the parking lot.
You're both frustrating people in El Granada right now, because there's at least two locations in El Granada, one at the corner of Sonora and Vallejo and the other at the entrance to Quarry Park, where routinely, because the slope of the street has not been, the swale has not been measured or figured out, the water just comes streaming down blocks and blocks, coming streaming out of Quarry Park right into the first house that's right there. Every year, nothing's been done. Same thing with the corner of Vallejo and Sonora. It comes down the three blocks of Vallejo Street, and because of the fall of the street, it goes right into the garage of the first house there on the corner. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been done. Complaints have been made to County Public Works. Nobody's out there measuring, leveling the street, figuring that out. No. This is unincorporated county, and you're on your own.
Let's see. Sonora and Vallejo.
Brad, please get out there with your laser.
Got it. Hey, I got a yellow vest and a stop sign.
There we go. All right, let's get to Coastal Windage Erie. Well, we've got Brad here, and he's been on the show almost as many times as I have. So there's a perfect person for us to go through our year in review. And this is a new year. So, Brad, you've been on the show 3 years running now. That's pretty good, 24, 25, and now 26. Okay, so this past calendar year, 2025, because we're in a new year now, we had 49 shows, which is pretty good considering there's 52 weeks in the year. So we took off July 4th. Which was we were mandated to by the station. They wanted to do some July 4th stuff. The day after Thanksgiving and the day after Christmas. Other than that, we did a show every Friday. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Thanks to guest hosts like Brad Larson and, of course, Crystalline, who is always here for the show. It's amazing, allowing me to come and go as I please. We've now done 345 total shows since 2017. 345 Fridays we've been here from 9 to 10 a.m. This past year, we did 25 Shooting the Breeze live interviews. Listen to some of the names that we had. Sam Liccardo, sitting U.S. representative. Julie Engelman, artist extraordinaire. Carolyn Goodwin, who was San Mateo County's first poet laureate. Mark Newton and Jill Jacobson, current and past executive directors of Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. Megan Smith, Half Moon Bay High School girls basketball coach, took the team to the state championship this year. Paul Nagengast, Half Moon Bay City Council. Carlos Acosta, who a local person who went through your program at the Opportunity Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then started his own clothing company, Foggy Clothing. Eric DeBody from Coastside Hope.
Abundant Grace.
Abundant Grace, yep. Thank you. Hillary Stamper and Carol Hunter from Coastside Country. Johnny Valencia, Yasmin Negrete from Cunha Cheer Club. Martin Gallagher who did the Trolls. I mean, just, and so many more people. I mean, like, we could just keep going and going. That's one of the reasons I love doing this show, is it gives me an excuse to bring people in from the Coastside that I want to meet, but, like, you know, who am I? Without this show, who am I? Just like, hi, you're cool, like, tell me about yourself. Now I've got an excuse and a platform to, like, bring them in and hear all about people like Martin Gallagher. Like, well, how did you come up with this troll idea, right? Number of phone calls?
Two.
1,357. The square root of that. That's how many phone calls we had. Okay. We had several, this is real, we had several thousand hits to the Coastal Windage webpage, so that's nice. I kept getting interrupted when I was counting them, and I lost count each time when I was tallying them, but it's somewhere in the thousands.
Okay.
So, yeah. We had three different official hosts and guest hosts. Sandy Brightside came back for a show, Michelle Dragony, Livy Streetwise. During this year, we had my bicycle accident, which I was only out for 3 weeks from the show, but down for much longer than that.
And to be fair, you called in each Friday, I think.
So you were
technically on the show.
From your bed.
Yeah.
From your hospital bed.
Memory of that.
With all the medication.
Yeah, you did have a disclaimer that you were a little bit hopped up.
Okay, oxycodone and the phone on a radio show, not a good idea. No memory of that, but I'll take your word for it. So we had that happen this year. Crystalline's wedding announcement this year, or this past year. We had the Lisa Ketchum Memorial episode. Unfortunately, my friend Lisa Ketchum passed away. A big loss to the Coastside. We did our 300th episode in this past year. 300 episodes. We did our second annual Coastal Windage Summer Mic Series with 12 different hosts, including Brad.
Thank you.
Aisha Barrow, David Oliphant, Melinda McNaughton, and Jane Praysilver, Mark Newton and Sandra Sarabia from Boys and Girls Club, Michelle Dragony, of course. I mean, we really can't do much without Michelle. On the Coastside here and on this show, Paul Nagengast, Beverly Garrity from Coastside Design Review, and Marika Holmgren from Hometown Mercantile. We also had some really, I mean, there's a couple, I mean, I'll admit it, there was a couple of stinkers in terms of segments this year. I mean, you know, you must have the stinkers in order for the good ones to stand out, right? But if they're all great, then it's just, everything is just meh.
Quick question to our super fan.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the show from the last year?
Getting an update on when the goats are being herded. That's important.
Yes. I do love the goats. I think everybody loves the goats. I do my own yard work, and I don't always get to it all the time. And there's been times when the backyard has literally been like waist high of just, you know. And there was one time when it, so I have a push mower. And so when it gets, the grass gets too high, you can't do it anymore. It just literally won't do it. There's not enough action in the push mower to cut the grass. So it had gotten waist high, and I was going to have to get, I have like a old fashioned Sith type of thing that's
sickle.
That's my weed whacker, right? So I use that when it gets too high for the lawnmower, but that is grueling and takes hours and hours just to do a small backyard. So I was putting that off.
I've got a couple of moments in the past year where you hit on a subject that is dear to my heart.
Oh, let's hear it. Yeah.
So I want you to open this gift real quick.
Wow, a present.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. And well wrapped.
And you'll get it as soon as you see it.
Oh, spiders, thank you. Okay, so I can tell that Brad listens to the show, yes, because we are no kill zone for spiders in our house. You know,
you gotta read the whole thing.
Oh my god, yes, okay.
It's a t-shirt, it's a black and white
t-shirt that has a little spider in the front, and it says spiders are not pests.
That's a direct quote from Ruben Truthman.
Thank you, Brad Larson. They are not pests. They are your friends.
In my office at work, I had one as an employee. It had a job. It was up in that corner.
Yes, thank you.
And it kept the air and the walls clean of all the little things that I couldn't see.
Exactly.
And it was his job. It was George's job. And all I had to do was clean up the droppings on the top of the file cabinet in the corner. It was a symbiotic relationship.
I am wearing this shirt next week. Yes, because as I tell my wife and son when they want to kill the spider or even put it outside, what do you think that spider is eating in this house? It's not eating you.
No, it has a food supply.
It's eating something, and take spider out. Guess what? Those things will not be eaten. They will be around. Which would you rather have?
Multiplying.
When I drove to Alaska in 2022 on the way back, I found that there was a spider living in the side view mirror, like
the enclosure.
The enclosure. And he and I traveled for like a week. He would come out, even when we were driving, I'd see him, he'd crawl back in there. Oh, and then one day he was hanging out, and I was telling him, I was talking to him. When you drive back from Alaska by yourself, this happens. You start talking to the spiders and to yourself. And so I was having this long conversation with him, like, buddy, you better get back in the enclosure because you're getting a little out there and the wind's blowing. And unfortunately, I did lose him. He blew off one day. But, keep them around. Keep the spiders around. I'm wearing that shirt. Thank you, Brad. And that shows that Brad's listening because spiders are very important.
Yes.
Apex predators are important. Coyotes are important. They do a job. Okay, get rid of coyotes. You're going to have a lot more gophers and squirrels and other rodents.
I heard your spider rant twice this year.
Oh, no.
And so once it's interesting, twice it's a T-shirt.
that's a bumper sticker right there.
There you go.
Once it's interesting, twice it's a T-shirt. Okay. Yeah, Brad is making a play for when I'm ready to retire. I think we've got what we're doing here, right here, Brad and Crystalline. So, yeah, my spider rants. Other great segments that I feel like we did. The Curious Case of the Midcoast Sign Stealer. That was an interesting thing. E-bikes in the Slippery Slope. People probably heard that rant a few times, Brad.
Oh, yeah. I got one of my own, too.
About e-bikes.
Well, sure. The Class 2s are going to be 16 and over pretty soon. 16 years old because they're in the middle of the traffic. They had everybody knows it in San Francisco, they do critical mass. Mm-hmm. Well, about 25 10-year-olds decided to create a critical mass on Class 2 e-bikes in the middle of Walnut Creek. And it pissed a lot of people off. And they're going to get killed. You know,
I mean, this is
for their safety. they should, you should have a driver's license if you're going to operate something like that that goes fast and right down the middle of the road in the middle of the city.
Absolutely. I mean, we have that here. In El Granada, there's a pack of kids that rides around. Maybe the oldest is 13 or 14, the youngest being like 6 or 7. And these kids are not only riding the class 3s that don't even have pedals, right? These are literally e-motorcycles. But also the really heavy, like class 2s that nominally have pedals but are really like just a throttle control. These kids are also riding gas motorcycles. Mm-hmm. So in California, California Driver's Code, you must have a license, an M1 certification to ride a motorcycle. I have an M1 certification. I've had one since I was 15 and a half years old. You have to do a driver's test and a driving test. You
and for the actual motorcycles, they're dirt bikes, which are typically not street legal anyway.
They're not street legal. And when you have a six-year-old, and the six-year-old was riding a gas motorcycle, that six-year-old or that 13-year-old has no knowledge of the driving rules of the road, not to mention the skills that go along with that, not to mention the nuances of, like, when you both come to a stop sign, who goes first, that kind of thing, or if this stop, the stoplight is out and it's flashing red. These kids don't know this. They're riding the wrong side on the road. They're riding these motorcycles on the sidewalk. It's out of control. The e-bike thing is out of control. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Operating a vehicle or a motorcycle is mostly intuitive. You've got to follow the law, but there's also, you know, defensive driving, mm-hmm. and it takes years to figure that all out, how to stay out of the way of other people, and they don't know how to stay out of the way of anything.
Well,
a lot of them take up the whole road because they feel, like, entitled to as much space as possible because they're just being kids, right?
They don't know the rules.
Yeah. Well, but even if they knew the rules, I mean, kids are kids. Kids are going to do what they want to do, especially when they're not in the purview of their parents', you know, supervision, and they feel all emboldened and things like that.
They're emboldened by their parents. These are expensive machines. No kid is buying their own e-motorcycle. The parents are buying these things for them and then just turning a blind eye. Oh, here, Junior, ride this down the shoulder of Highway 1 at rush hour to get to school 6 miles away. It's fine. It's a bike, right? No, it's not a bike. I'm sitting here wearing a classic black and yellow Yamaha motorcycle jersey from the early 80s. I rode motorcycles my entire childhood. But before my dad would allow me to even go and take the driver's test, what do we got, 1 minute?
Three minutes.
I had to go. He made me go and take a CHP authorized, led by a former CHP driver, motorcycle skills training course, even though I had been riding motorcycle my entire life. Because it's serious business out there. When you crash on a motorcycle, you're getting hurt. Mm-hmm. You're getting hurt. That's just a done deal. And these kids don't know about riding perpendicular to painted lines or trolley tracks or things like this.
Well, and they're also wearing, like, regular clothes. Like, not, like, if you're riding your motorcycle as a, you know, professional motorcycle rider, like, there's a reason that they wear leather jackets. There's a reason why they wear chaps. There's a reason why the ones that have, like, the sport gear. And when we ride dirt bikes, like, we have what we call Superman suits, and it's got padding everywhere, or we've got plastic chest protectors. Like, it's more than just a helmet. And the kids...
If that, I mean... So-
but the kids on the e-bikes, on the really fast e-bikes, a lot of them are... I have seen a lot of them are wearing helmets, thankfully, but... then they're in t-shirts and jeans, which at that rate of speed, if you hit the pavement really hard, you're breaking bones, you're getting severe road rash, you're still going to come out pretty messed up.
And that's just on pavement. Now we go to the trails where these e-motorcycles and e-bikes with the big fat tires, with the big knobbies, are just shredding the trails because they've got a lot more torque and they've got an engine and a motor powering that rear wheel torque, grinding up and creating ruts in the trails that you don't get from a regular mountain bike because mm-hmm. you don't have that level of thrust and torque and that huge wide tire just digging a rut and leaving all kinds of erosion everywhere.
And again, motorized dirt bikes, like the traditional ones, they have areas they can and can't go.
Right.
And they also have red sticker versus green sticker. So if you have a dirt bike that's red sticker, you can't ride it in certain places, certain times of the year, because it's a higher fire risk because of the spark arrestor. Whereas green sticker, you have more, but at the same, but you can't just go on any trail just because you have a dirt bike. I have a dirt bike. I have never ridden on the coast side.
Right, because you can't. There's no place legal to ride off road. So, Brad, are you a motorcycle rider? Did you?
I used to commute from Pittsburgh to Walnut Creek every day on a 71 Norton Commando.
Wow. Where is that bike now?
It's in my garage about half apart.
Oh.
And yes, I'd like to get it back together.
There's your prod.
Maybe I... Okay.
All right.
Oh, shh.
Yes.
I walked right into that.
Yes, you did, engineer. Let's get that thing going. You're riding that to come next time you're on the show. You're riding bike.
I got to ride it over here.
Oh yes,
we're
just going to have it idling in the hallway because we want to hear that delicious sound. Is it two stroke?
No, it's a four.
Okay,
but it's a twin, 750 twin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very loud, very noisy. Hey, thanks for having me over today. Before I get into the bike, though, I'm going to go home and relax.
There you go. Relax while you work. That's how you can relax, by tinkering with the bike.
There you go.
Well, Brad Larson, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being a fan of the show. Really appreciate that. I know you do listen, and I appreciate your feedback on that, and thank you for listening. And thank you for being Crystalline's dad. Crystalline, man, no wonder you're so awesome. Okay. Coastsiders, it's a new year. Oh, Noah, nice job on the engineering board today. Okay, Frank is...
Oh, he's seated, so...
Yeah, he's like asleep over there. Okay, Frank's not worried about it. Neither am I. Noah did a great job. Let's have a great 2020. Let's have that be our joint resolution. Let's have a great 2026. We're off to a flying start. We'll see you next week, everybody. Coastal Windage,
the talk of the coast.